Track 14, Batterers, Cost and Payoffs. In the previous track, we discussed systematic desensitization. As a cover-up for the underlying depression, many males may lash out at others and become batterers. According to How Men Handle Depression, what you see are the footprints of depression, or the defenses a man is using to run from it. We see it in self-medication, isolation, and lashing out. Anger is classically a way of passing physical pain onto others. It's a way of making others pay for your client's own emotional deficits. This lashing out anger can fuel the depression that leads to suicide. As you know, abuse is not about losing control, getting angry, or blacking out. The lashing out male needs to see the benefits and costs of his battering behavior. The costs of violent behavior are high, but the costs may not be obvious to your client who is masking his depression and possible suicidal thoughts with battering. As you listen to these five costs, consider a client you are treating. What costs, if any, is he most concerned about? Cost number one. Is your client concerned about being arrested? This is an obvious consequence to violent behavior. Yet as you know, many batterers truly believe that they won't be caught, and that what they are doing isn't wrong in the first place. Daryl, a 42-year-old carpenter, had been court-ordered into anger management therapy after severely beating his wife, Trish. Daryl stated, "I can't believe it. I had to spend 2 nights in that stinking place and just for putting her in line. Somebody has to do it, and it is my right as her husband." Cost number two. Is your client concerned about not being able to return home? As you know, if a batterer is arrested, there is the very real possibility that he will not be able to return home until going to court. Daryl stated, "I had to get my mom to go over there and get some of my clothes. Imagine, I couldn't even set foot in my own house. She doesn't pay the bills, I do. She should have had to stay somewhere else." Cost number three. Is your client concerned about seeing his kids? As you know, many abusive men aren't allowed to see their children until they see a judge. When reflecting on his ugly divorce to Trish, Daryl stated, "I never laid one finger on those kids. Why would I punish them for having a stupid, lazy mother? It's not their fault. Now I can't even see them until I finish these classes and the judge gives me the okay." Cost number four. Is your client concerned about wasting his time and money? The majority of batterers are court-ordered into anger management classes. They have to pay for the classes and possibly could miss work in order to make one of the meetings. Most abusive men look at these classes as a waste of time and money. When considering his anger management therapy, Daryl stated, "I really don't think all this is necessary. I may have gotten out of line a bit, but this is ridiculous. I'm missing 2 hours of work and paying for this crap." Cost number five. Is your client concerned about giving his partner the upper hand? In his mind, he gave his wife the upper hand by being caught. Now she thinks she can get away with anything she wants. When thinking back on his arrest, Daryl stated, "I can't believe she sent me to the can. I hate that place, almost as much as I hated the smug look on her face when I saw her in court." Have you noticed that all those comments have to do with how innocent the consequences of Daryl's abuse were for him? As you know, men that batter women normally aren't concerned about how their violence hurts someone else, only how it hurts them. The effects on those that they have hurt matters only to the degree that it will affect them. Anger is a negative experience, so closely bound to pain and depression that it can sometimes be hard to know where one of these experiences ends and the other begins. Of course, there are ways batterers benefit from abuse of others. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep doing what common decency tells them they ought to stop. As you listen, consider a client you are currently treating and which of these five payoffs makes his abuse worthwhile. Payoff number one. Does your client use his abuse to get his way? Daryl said that when he got home from work, everybody would get in line. "I never had to say, 'It's my way or the highway,' because it pretty much was understood." Payoff number two. Does the abuse make your client feel powerful? Daryl stated, "I know I have the power. No matter what was going on before I got there, it was over when I walked in the house." Payoff number three. does your client abuse his partner so he gets to be right? Daryl stated, when she got home one night, she was being all snooty and refused to explain where she had been and why she hadn't fixed any meals for the kids. That irritated me, so I popped her one. It worked. She was always home and always had dinner on the table after that night. Payoff number 4. Does your client feel that abuse gives him the final say? Daryl stated, I get to have the final say. When I say we're done talking, we're done talking. She knows better than to push me past that point. Payoff number 5. Does your client abuse his partner so he doesn't have to ask twice? Daryl said that all he had to do was to give Trish a look and she'd get in line. I might as well have just snapped my fingers, he stated. Payoff number 6. Does your client abuse his partner so he gets to make all the decisions? Daryl stated, I never had to worry about where she was or what she was doing, like going to the bars. I just put my foot down. She wasn't going, period. Many batterers will keep on abusing their partners because the benefits outweigh the costs. He believes that feeling superior and getting his way is more important than being sent to jail or wasting money on anger management classes. Abuse is not an addiction. It is not a physical craving that is out of the batterer's control. So why doesn't he just change? Because there is a short-term gain to using control and abuse, and there is most definitely a long-term cost. As you know, many batterers don't change because they like the short-term gain, but cannot see the long-term costs of their destructive behavior. I'm sure you will be able to recognize this resistant behavior in recognizing the costs, as I describe Mitch, Corey, and Harold. Mitch always complained about being tired during our sessions and wants to leave early. He doesn't really care about what has gone on in the group. He just wants to do his time and get out. Mitch hasn't learned anything. He already knows it all. Corey, a construction foreman, who is what we would call a perfectionist, likes to argue with every comment made by almost anyone. He often starts by saying, "Let me tell you why you're wrong." Of course, he leaves out the rest of the thought, which would be, "And where I'm right." When Harold walks in, I know I have to be ready to deal with him. He'll try to take up the entire 2 hours talking about how he was denied due process and how his wife is at fault too. It really pisses him off that she isn't also here in the group. Harold's wife agrees with him. She claims that she, too, is at fault and that Harold is basically a good guy. At least that is what he tells us. As you know, with resistant clients such as Mitch, Corey, and Harold, asking how the abuse started is an extremely important question. Obviously, if they never think about how it started, how can they get past the resistance that is shored up by a larger payoff than a cost? I found that the 5-step anger visualization technique helped Mitch, Corey, and Harold in understanding how their abuse was triggered. Step number 1. In an individual session, remind the client of a cost he had stated, for example, concerned about seeing their kids. Step number 2. Ask them to briefly describe a controlling, abusive, or violent incident. Step number 3. Ask the client to close their eyes and visualize the situation. Step number 4. Ask the client what they were thinking before the act of control, abuse, or violence. Step number 5. Did your thoughts somehow trigger your actions? Step number 6. Did your feelings somehow trigger your actions? Asking about how the abuse started is really an important question to perhaps link it to depression. The answer is important, and the question is important. If he never thinks about it, how will he change? Well, he won't, of course. With many abusers, nothing is ever their fault. They are either blaming the system or their partners. Thus, layers of blaming others masks their underlying depression. Question 14. What are 6 battering payoffs? This CD has covered such topics as defining masculine depression, the mommy list, imaginary stranger, counterdependence, not too close, not too far away, self-empathy, homophobia, fishbowl technique, creating narcissistic extension, fighting fairly, getting off the defensive, ABCs and a D, lashing out, anger diary, systematic desensitization, Costs and Payoffs of Abuse. I hope you have found the information to be both practical and beneficial. We appreciate that you've chosen Healthcare Training Institute as a means for receiving your continuing education credit. I wish you the best of luck in your practice. Thank you.